Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch, and the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them. Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio at noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for the Herd at FoxSportsRadio.com. Or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Okay, we predict them, and sometimes we're wrong. It's called calling right, calling wrong. We do it every Monday at this time, and here we go.
Where Colin was right?
Well, Mike Tomlin clarified it finally. This whole idea that Russell Wilson and Justin Fields are going to compete for the starting job is nonsense. Give me a break. One's figuring out how to play quarterback. One is a refined Super Bowl appearing two-time quarterback. Here's Tomlin on his two guys at quarterback.
His experience in the National Football League, his process that's been honed and perfected. Russell has those resources, man, that structure. And so that's why I say he has pole position, man. It just creates a synergy that I think is good for this time of year.
Pole position will be and should be Russell Wilson. He may not be what he was 7 years ago, but he can still win you a lot of games in this league. And in the AFC, you can't go with a quarterback trying to figure out how to play the position. That doesn't work in that division.
Where Colin was wrong.
I went to the Bulls-Celtics game with a notepad. I can acknowledge after closer inspection, Jason Tatum is very good. Okay, I knew that. But I will say one of the things I've questioned about Jason Tatum is dominating a game late. He always gets his shot, but they didn't have Porzingis. Jaylen Brown didn't play. Drew Holiday didn't play. And Chicago was at home. This was a big game for the Bulls. And Tatum finished it off, playmaking, finding the open guy. Where Colin was wrong.
Where Colin was right?
I said, don't overthink it. The talent pool in college basketball is thin. Duke and UConn are the two best teams. Well, they're 4-0 after this weekend. UConn's winning by 28 a game. Carolina's winning by 22 a game. Listen, there's just not many really exceptional teams. Even next weekend, when it's been cut down to a smaller number, there's only about four teams left, maybe five, that can win the national championship. Don't outthink the room.
Where Colin was wrong.
Finally, the New York Jets move off of just getting players that made Aaron comfortable. They went out and got offensive linemen Tyron Smith, Morgan Moses, John Sampson from Dallas, Baltimore, teams that have had successful winning cultures and excellent offensive lines. They also went and got a backup quarterback, and they didn't ask for Aaron Rodgers' approval. It's not anti-Aaron, it's pro-winning. The Patriots during their dynasty weren't getting an okay on every acquisition or draft pick from Tom. I understand if you go and you have a wide receiver in the market and you're like, hey, how do you think you guys match up? But the bottom line is the Jets moved away from making Aaron comfortable and moved in to some older quality players who can protect Aaron even if they're not buddies.
Where Colin was right?
John Calipari. We'll find out if he keeps his job today. My guess he will. The Wildcats again bounced by a small college in the first round. Last year, St. Peter's. This year, Oakland, somewhere in Michigan. I've said with Calipari, I bought into him initially in the one-and-done stuff. I thought it was a new way to do business, but it's all salesmanship now. He never owns it. He constantly projects. It's all about, hey, I feel bad for the kids. Don't worry about the kids. They'll go to the NBA and get rich. Worry about you and elevating your team. And as the culture changes in college basketball, you've got to adapt. Calipari said last week, I don't know if I'm going to change. Well, you're not winning in March, and the culture's changed. Even Belichick got fired when he wouldn't adapt to a new culture, and he wasn't winning in January.
Where Colin was wrong.
My Golden State Warriors have lost 7 times in 11 games. They've just become too Steph Curry dependent. Klay Thompson off the bench is often the second best scorer on the team. Wiggins is all over the map. I like Kuminga, but he's not at a 24-point-a-game pace in his career now. They have a problem scoring if Steph's not on fire. And again, they are in danger of getting edged out. I don't think it's good for the league with the Houston Rockets, who are talented but hyper young. And I thought this team had a perfect mix of Chris Paul. Chris is going to be 38. He really doesn't add a lot offensively. This team has hit a wall.
Where Colin was right.
Caleb Williams is clearly going to be the Bears pick, the number one pick. Keenan Allen last week went to his pro day and wore a Chicago Bears jersey. And Caleb came on our show, as we told you, his camp had told me he's happy about going to Chicago.
Well, that's the place. I'm excited for that. The fans love football. It's one of the biggest things that I care about is a place that cares. If that was the place, I'd be excited. Get ready to go win games is what I'm excited for, most importantly.
He'll go to Chicago. He is a much better prospect than Justin Fields. They have a much better offensive situation than Fields inherited. This is the future of the Chicago Bears. Ryan Poles, and I've had my questions about him, has had a very good year between DJ Moore, Gerald Everett, Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift, and rebuilding that O-line. GM Ryan Poles has had a very good 12 months. It'll continue when he drafts Caleb Williams.
Where Colin was wrong.
I thought Shohei Ohtani to the Dodgers would elevate the sport, elevate the Dodgers. He was squeaky clean. He had a great image. And now he's in the middle of a scary gambling situation. Now, if he didn't bet on baseball, I think it evaporates very quickly. There's a shadiness to it with his interpreter, whether it's Ohtani. And again, I think we have a gambling culture in America increasingly, so if he didn't bet baseball, I don't think he's in a lot of trouble. I think it goes away. But I will acknowledge that I thought he was the perfect Dodger, squeaky clean, elevate the sport in a big entertainment capital, and this is clearly a mess for the sport.
Where Colin was right.
Defensive head coaches just don't sense the urgency at quarterback. I know and like Antonio Pierce, but what I'm hearing is it's down to Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell at quarterback. I'm not hearing any discussion of drafting a quarterback. Now, that may be Tom Telesco just trying to stay out of the news, but Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell are fourth place. And that offensively would be one of the weaker teams in the league. Now, Gardner was okay with Shane Steichen, but most of us agree that Steichen is the next Kyle Shanahan in terms of brain power and wattage offensively. Please, please, please tell me the future of the Raiders' offense is not their current quarterback situation.
Where Colin was right.
The Chiefs moved off. Legarius Sneed, the corner. I said, Chris Jones is the guy you got to keep. I like Sneed. But he gets penalties. He got smoked in the Super Bowl. NFL people that I respect are spending money on offense, not defense. The exception being a great pass rusher or a great interior defender. McDuffie is already in house. Brett Veach has shown an ability to draft excellent corners in the mid-rounds or later. This is the right move by the Chiefs. They got to keep Mahomes protected and happy and make sure Chris Jones, because there's no duplication of Jones. He's sort of a one-on-one guy in this league. Keep him in-house.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Hi, it's The Herd. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It's easy, 90 seconds. Use the code HERD, H-E-R-D. That's code HERD for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball. For eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my! Look at that! He is! And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The J.J. McCarthy stuff is starting to feel like Zach Wilson.
Oh, good.
I'm not joking. And yesterday in Los Angeles, damage control, whatever you want to call it, all the big dogs in Los Angeles for the Dodgers, Ohtani spoke finally about what could be the biggest mess baseball's had since the Pete Rose betting scandal, right?
A lot of gambling in sports stories this week. Gotta love that, right? We do gambling well.
Yep. Well, let's start with that. Ohtani said yesterday, met with the media, read, you know, which again, from a foreign country, needs an interpreter. I'm not bothered by Ohtani reading what he wanted to say for about 12 minutes. I know cynicism gets retweeted in America today and naivete gets mocked. I'll be a little naive. He said he never gambled on sports ever and he was ripped off and lied to by his interpreter. So I just want to throw this out there. A great athlete who's got a complicated game. He hits and he pitches, making the most money ever by an American pro athlete. That's the contract he signed. In those peak years as a young athlete, you are focused on your sports, your endorsements, your training, your performance. You have to trust your body to people, your money to people, your career to people, even paying taxes for a pro athlete. Every state taxes you differently. And when you make Ohtani money, when you make celebrity money, these aren't accountants. These aren't business people. And most of the time, they're 23 years old. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, an academic, ripped off. John Elway went to Stanford, lost $15 million in a Ponzi scheme. Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, lost tens of millions. Robert De Niro lost $88 million. Billy Joel lost $90 million. They're artists. They're celebrities. They're focused on their gifts, and they're often young and rich and distracted. And there's those peak years for an actor, a celebrity. Again, these people, they're the opposite of accountants. It's all personality. It's all art.
It's not about numbers. Most people are turned off by that stuff who are artists and athletes. They don't care about that. They weren't raised around people that were, you know, buying hedge funds and mutual funds. They don't know. A foreign land, you need an interpreter to speak to the media? Maybe I'm naive. I can see them get ripped off. I've seen school funds get ripped off. I've seen banks get duped, and bankers, and economists, and charities, and companies. So for an international player who needs an interpreter to just speak to the media, when he says, I don't gamble on sports, and I get totally ripped off, maybe I'm naive. I can get it. I mean, how many times a week do you get an email or a scam phone call? I must get 6 phone calls a day. A day. And it says on my phone, potential scam. I get emails constantly. And some, I had my wife have to talk me out of something about a year ago. They said I owed back taxes and I had to send money. I was duped. My wife's like, I would call your accountant. I did. He said, it's fake. It's the second person I've seen get this, and it looks incredibly authentic. So, like Otani, different country. Every state's got different laws and rules on gambling and taxes. He's a celebrity. And how do you rip somebody off? You get proximity to that person, numbers, names. An interpreter is about the closest ally you can have. Otani, to me, is a brilliant kid. I saw a lot of people in the media yesterday. Oh, he's just reading. He's just reading his answers. Well, if I was a sportscaster and moved over to Asia, I would read my answers too at a press conference if I was in perceived hot water. Right? Like, I think we're trying to be a little sinister or a little, we're all being cynics here. Nobody is buying the reality of young people, young celebrities who in my life have been ripped off, and the scams are getting much more sophisticated. So, I don't know. I'm going to be naive here. I can see a young kid getting ripped off, not really having a clue. But Colin, his initial story was different than this story. I can see him initially trying to help out the interpreter, who it's been reported was his ally, his best friend in the country. Sort of trying to help the guy out and then realizing, oh, this is way worse than I thought. I've really been ripped off. I'm ticked off. The Dodgers had to fire him. Again, I've seen it my whole life. Young, rich celebrities. Billy Joel, Robert De Niro, John Elway, Kareem, Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan. I mean, there was an agent years ago that I think was in the NFL that ripped off dozens of athletes. That's why leagues have these rules that you have to qualify to just be an agent, and they're pretty darn strict. It's why there's only a handful of agents in baseball, Scott Boros, football, and the NBA. There's about 6 agents per sport that have all the clients, and part of that is they're trusted by the league. So file me under naive. File me under not going to be a cynical media person. I kind of believe the kid got ripped off. I do. And if I'm wrong, I actually hope he got ripped off. I hope he got ripped off. I hope it goes away. I hope the kid's career doesn't go into the tank. I hope he ends up elevating baseball. I hope he's a star for a great organization. Yeah, I do. I don't like talking about this stuff. I don't root against kids. I'm hoping he got ripped off. That sounds so weird to say. But that would be the best conclusion. He was naive. The interpreter took him for a ride. You know, the good news is he's pushed all his money down the road. So the big chunks of his money don't happen for years, so he'll overcome it. A lot of these athletes and celebrities, it's at the end of their career, past their earning years. So potentially, it's quick, it's ugly, he got robbed, and it's over. That's what I'm hoping for. And today, that's what I believe. We'll see. All right. It happens every few years. And it happens a lot with quarterbacks. Is all of a sudden you watch a college quarterback and you're like, he's a pretty good player. He'll go like late first round, early second round. And all of a sudden he starts flying up the draft board. He doesn't play any games. Maybe he had a good combine. But a combine's in shorts. There's no defense. His pro day, you're throwing to college teammates. That has become J.J. McCarthy. According to a story this morning, many believe he'll be the second player picked. Folks, he had 22 touchdown passes in 15 games. Caleb Williams had 93 touchdowns with bad offensive lines the last 2 years at USC. J.J. McCarthy had 22 touchdowns in 15 games with a great O-line, a great run game, a great coach, a great defense. Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels all averaged over 300 yards a game passing. J.J. McCarthy last year did it one time against awful 4-8 Purdue. He averaged under 200 yards throwing. This is starting to feel like Zach Wilson of the Jets, where he has a couple of throws on his pro day. We start going, ooh, his arm. Oh, he moves well. There's a lot of zip. Both he and Zach Wilson are 6'3", and in my opinion, a little spindly. I don't know. J.J. McCarthy's college experience is not the NFL. I said this a month ago. It's very Alabama quarterback. You always have the best coach. You always have a lead. You always have a great O-line. You always have protection. You always have a great run game. If he goes number two, like the executive says, you go to Washington, that was the 32nd ranked offensive line. You'd go from the best college O-line to the worst NFL line. You'd go from the first or second best college run game at Michigan to the 27th run game. It would be the opposite of your Michigan experience. Caleb Williams actually goes to the Bears, they'll have much better offensive pieces than USC did. It'll be like cruise control. He's thrown to two-star NFL receivers. He had 1 in 2 years at USC. The Bears appear to have their run game and offensive line right, and two capable tight ends, Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett. To me, the guys that succeed in this league, their college experience mirrors their NFL experience. That's why Ohio State's had so many great college quarterbacks, and C.J. Stroud is the first one we're like, whoa, we got a star here. Because Ohio State has such great players. They're always leading. They're never behind. They get protection. And so when I look at the J.J. McCarthy situation, it's very Tua. You know, it's very Bama quarterback. It's very Mac Jones. I mean, there are things I like about him. But, I mean, second? Drake May's bigger and stronger. Caleb Williams, much more explosive. Better numbers across the board. He hit 300-yard passing game one time. Lance Zierlein, who I bring on this show, dad was an NFL coach. He works at NFL.com. He scouts. He said McCarthy should continue to improve as a passer, but he fails to stand out in many areas that tend to be predictive of top-level success in the NFL. And now we have him going number two. He was very efficient at Michigan. He was rarely, if ever, dynamic, dominant. He never asked to carry the team. I mean, I said from the very beginning, I didn't really get it, and I never got Zach Wilson. And there are things I like about him. It's awesome to have Jim Harbaugh as a college coach because he coaches like an NFL coach. He brings that NFL intensity. And so I like that. But the last 3 years, Michigan's been beating Ohio State, and the reason they've been beating him, the run game and the defense. The Michigan defense better than Ohio State's, and the Michigan physicality and run game better than Ohio State's. So I'm not anti J.J. McCarthy, but it always cracks me up. I mean, you have NFL coaches now not even going to the combine. You have GMs rolling their eyes at the combine. The Rams don't send anybody. They have a pretty good franchise. They don't send anybody. And we're falling in love with combines and pro days. Watch out. If you go look at the history of the NFL quarterbacks, isn't it remarkable how many of them did not go to power schools? Big Ben went to Miami of Ohio. For a while, the Cal Bears had three quarterbacks in the NFL, and so did NC State. Why? Because the college experience for Aaron Rodgers not playing with five-star guys, or Matt Ryan at Boston College, or Russell Wilson at NC State, or Dak at Mississippi State, or Kirk Cousins at Michigan State, they have to carry the team. They don't get great protection. They don't play with leads. They don't always have a great run game. They have to play from behind. That's very similar to the NFL. I mean, you would think the NFL would be a bunch of USC and Oklahoma and Ohio State and Notre Dame quarterbacks in Alabama. It's not. Patrick Mahomes goes to Texas Tech. Josh Allen goes to Wyoming. Why? Because they lived a real NFL experience, playing from behind, playing with less talent, with a second-best coach. I mean, Michigan is like Alabama. Best coach, best O-line, best run game, best field position, best defense. Now he's flying up the board? I'm not saying he's not a franchise quarterback. If he goes to Minnesota, now that works. He can sit for a year. Commanders, he plays day one. Commanders, he gets a defensive coach, the only in his division. Minnesota, offensive coach. Minnesota's got a better O-line. With Aaron Jones, a better run game. Dominant receivers, top tight end. The Minnesota J.J. McCarthy landing spot where he can slowly sit for a year behind Sam Darnold. That could work. Washington, play now. Defensive coach, horrible O-line, no run game. That doesn't sound like it's going to work at all. J-Mac, I know you're rolling your eyes. You love J.J. McCarthy, but this thing is going.
That was quite a rant there. I was looking up as you were saying, you were prattling on about production in college. I was like, it doesn't matter that much. Cam Newton, 1 year starter at Auburn. Only 1 year. I know Cam was.
He was arguably
we knew he was
the greatest
awesome.
1 year of college quarterbacking ever.
Correct. So then I found another guy, Joe Flacco. Now he was a multi-year starter at Delaware, but coming
huge
out,
arm, huge athlete. He was a great prospect.
So the other guy was Jay Cutler, who started for 3 years at Vanderbilt, but his stats were very, very modest.
But that's not, remember, Jay Cutler played at Vandy. He trailed. They had the second best talent in every game he played. These Alabama quarterbacks, none have popped. You always play with a lead. You always have the best coach. You always have protection. Hey, Matt Leinart at USC under Pete Carroll, I think he got hit 4 times.
Yeah.
I mean, really popped. It's like, it's a different experience.
So is the argument that McCarthy just didn't have enough experience, stats and
his
production
college experience for the last 3 to 4 years will not even resemble his NFL experience. But it won't even resemble it. He's going to be under duress on every play. I mean, that's why the COVID year gave us all the bad quarterbacks. Mm. Teams rearranged the deck chairs on their schedule. BYU, which always has a tough schedule, played an easier schedule. And Zach Wilson was really good in his pro day. And you played less games. And there were Zoom meetings. That's not the real world. They get to the NFL and Zach Wilson is literally completely over his skis. It's a tsunami of New York press and New York intensity and a bad O-line. No more Coastal Carolina.
So I guess the big argument would be, well, listen, Jim Harbaugh knows quarterbacks. He's the one who said, I want Colin Kaepernick in the second round. I read somebody aggregated something from Michael Lombardi saying Jim Harbaugh loved Tony Romo. He had him as his favorite quarterback coming out. They didn't end up drafting him, but Harbaugh does know quarterbacks. So it's like, hey, do you trust the numbers and the production, or do you trust Jim Harbaugh?
Well, Jim Harbaugh also has something up his sleeve.
Perhaps, yeah.
J.J. McCarthy going up the draft boards would then provide 4 top 5 quarterbacks, not 3. So right now, Penix, Bo Nix, and McCarthy 6 months ago were seen as secondary guys, later first. And everybody was talking about Drake May and Caleb a year ago, and Jaden Daniels wins the Heisman. But if McCarthy then moves up to a top 5 or 6 guy, who has the number 5 pick? The Chargers and Harbaugh. And so therefore, they come rushing up the board. Jim can trade back because Jim knows he needs a right tackle, a center, 2 receivers, a tight end, a corner, a defensive tackle. Jim needs picks. Jim needs extra picks. They have an extra 4. He needs an extra 1.
Just so people know, this whole odds to draft 2nd overall, they're very low limits. You can't go put $2,000 on it. You cannot do that. So, I don't know. I'm very suspect of McCarthy going 2nd overall. Come on.
Well, I'm following journalists.
Yes, yes. Big J, as he likes.
It's fascinating.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, gang, this is Jay Glazer, host of Unbreakable, a mental wealth podcast. And every week, we will have on leaders from sports, entertainment, like Sean McVay, Lindsey Vonn, Michael Phelps, David Spade, Guy Fieri, and also those who can help us in between the ears. Anyone from a therapist to someone like Ed Milet or John Gordon. We've all been through some sort of adversity. To get to the top, we've all used different tools. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer and Mental Wealth Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
We all have bosses. Even rich people who own companies like this one, they have shareholders, they have boards. Got to answer to somebody. I always laugh when people complain about the NFL putting games on Christmas or Thursday night games. You do get that Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, has 32 bosses, the NFL owners. He is an employee of the NFL. So the NFL yesterday announced they're going to play two games on Christmas, and it's on a Wednesday. And all the complainers come out. Ooh, two games on Christmas Day, Wednesday in 2024. There's the headline. What would you do if you were Roger Goodell? Would you go tell your bosses, yeah, it's going to get huge ratings, but, you know, I just think it's too much. There's a reason Roger Goodell keeps getting raises, because he keeps thumping the NBA and baseball and pulling away from all the other sports. Ask yourself the question, will you watch those games? No. Will you watch the games? Yes, you will. The NFL put a playoff game on a streaming service, Peacock, not even one of the more popular ones. It got 28 million views. 28 million viewers came in to watch a boring playoff game. Almost three times the NBA Finals. It wasn't on Netflix. It wasn't on, like, Hulu. It wasn't on Amazon Prime. It was on Peacock. Got 28 million viewers. The most streamed live event in U.S. history. You keep watching, and they're going to keep putting stuff on streaming services on Wednesdays, Thursdays, Christmas, Thanksgiving, because you keep watching. Tech companies follow the demand of the audience. Doesn't matter if it's Apple, if it's Google, they're going to try stuff. Nobody liked the Google glasses, so they stopped making them, right? That's what tech companies do. They keep rolling stuff out, and they follow your demand. And for the record, I will watch an average NFL game over It's a Wonderful Life any day of the week. There is no proof. We've looked at all the numbers. Athletes don't get hurt more on short weeks like Thursday. They do not. There is no elevation of injuries. Wednesday games are going to be very infrequent. They're only doing it because of Christmas. And these games get huge ratings. There's two times in America everybody's sitting down in front of the TV not working. Thanksgiving, NFL owns it. And now Christmas, NFL saying, we're going to own it. And for the record, I like that the NFL, unlike baseball, has always been willing to move, change, and adapt. Overtime rules have changed multiple times. The kickoff now this year is going to change. Some for safety measures, some just to make the sport more interesting. Kickoffs were a dead play. They're going to mess around with punts now. Too often there's fair catches. I'm okay with it. PAT, roughing the passer, is now going to be, you can go to replay and review roughing the passer because people complain. The NFL's always been willing to do that. So, you know, my takeaway on this, there are certain people out there, maybe it's a brain function by certain people, they just want to complain about stuff. But will you watch the games? Yes. 28 million people went to Peacock to watch a bad playoff game. The most streamed live event in U.S. history. You know, there's your answer. And the NFL, more than every sport, has always understood it's a TV show and it's a business, and that's where the income comes from. That's where the revenue comes from. So if we keep buying their new tech, they're going to keep selling their new tech. So I would ideally love if it was just a Sunday, Monday league, but I got to be honest, even though those games are bad on Thursday, I'm sitting down there on a Thursday night and I end up watching most of them, as long as Carolina's not in it. And these Wednesday Christmas games, last year they did Christmas games, they got massive numbers. They bludgeoned the NBA. And I think the NFL also sees an opportunity where the NBA's made some marketing mistakes. LeBron, Steph, KD getting older. They are seizing a business opportunity and putting games right on a day that used to be owned by basketball. So there's not that many regular season NBA games that, you know, you have to, you feel like you get a real impact and that make a real statement. I like watching NBA regular season games, but I don't think there's that many that truly matter. But you'll get down to the stretch after the All-Star break. You get down into these games, you watch them, and you're like, that feels like it sort of resonates. Last night, the Lakers beat Milwaukee at Milwaukee without LeBron, 128-124. And I thought it said a lot about the Lakers. Milwaukee is a team that's got size, doesn't always utilize it. They've been playing really good borderline playoff teams, 10 of their last 11 games. They look tired down the stretch. But it said a lot about the Lakers. First of all, Anthony Davis, we said this yesterday, is having an amazing year-and-a-half stretch. Last night he played 52 minutes. He's already top five in the league in minutes. That's the most he's ever played. He was absolutely dominating. Challenged by Giannis, he was 28, 34 points, 23 rebounds, 4 blocks. AD was the best player on the floor. And LeBron didn't play, so AD and Austin Reeves saw that as a green light to take over offensively. And for the record, this once again illustrates, unlike the Warriors without Steph, the Lakers are actually 6-4 without LeBron, and they score more points. Now, my theory on that is D'Lo, D'Angelo Russell and LeBron, I don't think LeBron loves his game. D'Lo last night in the second half was money. He got shots that he wouldn't normally get or take with LeBron on the floor. So when LeBron doesn't play, Austin Reeves knows, I got to be more aggressive. D'Lo, who I don't think always fits with LeBron, they almost traded him, he steps up, and AD realizes, I'm the leader of the team. Couple years ago, when you asked AD, here's the baton, be the guy, he shrank, he disappeared, he was never healthy. Something has happened with Anthony Davis over the last year and a half. When LeBron's out, he grabs that baton, and he takes over, and he is dominating. They were down 19 late in the fourth quarter and came roaring back. No LeBron, so they play a different style without LeBron. And if you look right now at the Western Conference standings, the way they do this in the NBA with a play-in game, 7 through 10 will play in, play off, and only two will survive. And right now, I would take the Lakers over Sacramento, Phoenix, or the Warriors, or an improving Houston. Again, Milwaukee looked tired. Giannis was 2-for-7 in clutch, missed two key free throws. They've had a really tough stretch. I've got my issues with Milwaukee, but they're going to win a playoff series. They'll be fine. They're not Boston, but they're fine. This game said a lot about the Lakers. They can play without LeBron. D'Angelo Russell continues in the last, since December, to be a really consistent offensive player in some clutch spots. This is also a team that utilizes their size. The Lakers are not going to run up and down the floor. You can run, you know, that's why they're probably not a great matchup if the Celtics were at full strength. You know, Oklahoma City runs well, young teams. Lakers don't really do that. They utilize their size. Milwaukee takes a lot of jumpers for their size. The Lakers' free throw differential the last 2 years is plus 911. So they pound the ball low. They score in the paint. They don't take or make a ton of threes. What they do well is experience. OKC doesn't have any. Size, Golden State doesn't have any. So the Lakers roared back without LeBron, on the road, down big. Their size, their experience, and the new and improved AD over the last year and a half were on display. This game felt like it was the biggest Lakers win of the season and is a testament what they can do, not at full strength. They've got enough tools, not at full strength. They can go up against what the number two seed in the East, come back from 19 down late and win. Here's Austin and AD after.
It was one of those moments that you can either, you know, flip the page to tomorrow, get ready for that game, or you can, you know, go out and compete 110% and give yourself an opportunity. This is the stuff you dream about as a kid, being on the road with your guys, you know, battling out at an amazing team and having opportunities to make big shots.
A 20-point lead in this league now is just nothing. Because of the way the offense is right now in the league, so high-powered that you can wipe the league away pretty fast. So I say it was fun. Yeah, we line up and do it all again tomorrow.
My takeaway after this game is somebody get Anthony Davis an IV because they play Memphis tonight. It is another must-win game for the Lakers. That was impressive. And again, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, LeBron was begging for AD to take over the team, and he just wouldn't do it. And something has happened. I don't know what it is. Is he taking care of his body? Did LeBron have multiple sit-downs? But AD last night is, on nights like last night, best defensive player in the league, doesn't get hurt much anymore, playing a ton of minutes, and absolutely is relishing and embracing the leadership role. Get me the ball on both ends. Totally dominating performance against Giannis. So, J-Mac, that was something. That was an impressive W in a wildly entertaining game.
Yeah, AD was tremendous. Austin Reeves, triple-double, game-winning three.
Best game maybe of his career.
I mean, listen, I know people are like, hey, what, can we get Donovan Mitchell in the offseason? Can we get this guy? I'm telling you, I'm not ready to move off Austin Reeves, man. He is really fun to watch, Colin. That kid, Lakers fans love this guy.
And they create contact. You know, everybody's always like, why do the Lakers shoot so many free throws? Because they don't shoot a lot of threes. So Austin Reeves, AD, LeBron initiate a ton of contact. So teams that settle for threes, Milwaukee's big but shoots a lot of threes. Lakers are huge. They don't.
Yeah.
So their free throw advantage, and last night, I think they were like 15 for 15 late in the game in free throw. Yeah. So the Lakers get to the line. Not all Laker teams get to the line. You know, when the Warriors were dominating this league and doing small ball, they weren't getting to the line as much because it was very perimeter dominated. This Laker team can't win that way. They have to pound the ball. And it's not like they always shoot well from the free throw line. They don't necessarily rebound as well for their size. But offensively, they create contact. They hit their free throws, they get to the line, and it's a pretty clear advantage. Hey,
by the way, Lakers will probably be playing on Christmas Day again this year, like every year. I'm just curious, do you have two televisions in your house?
Yes.
You do? Do you have remote controls for the TVs?
Yes.
Do they work?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not an issue. Christmas Day, you can watch it all, NFL and NBA, right?
Well, also, I have Fubo. So this idea, people like to grumble.
Yeah.
What, you don't have an iPad? I mean, do you have an iPhone? Fubo's $20 a month. I'm on a plane watching March Madness games flying home on Sunday.
It's not like there aren't a million commercials during all sporting events. I mean, NCAA tournament's kind of brutal. It feels like there's a tournament every 2 minutes, a commercial every 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I got to watch another game on my phone. Like, yeah. I have a remote. Like,
will you watch Christmas Day NFL games?
Yeah, 100%.
They're going to put Josh Allen on one of those games. Yeah. They may not put the Chiefs, but they'll put like Lamar, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Matt Stafford. You will watch the
games. Wasn't it Aaron Rodgers versus the Dolphins Jordan Love versus the Dolphins. Somebody versus Miami. It was a great game, and Tua vomited all over himself, and I want some money. And, you know,
that's all that
gambling
matters.
Gambling on Christmas.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Hi, it's The Herd. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered every step of the way with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out. As the NBA postseason winds down, it's fantastic. Super easy to get started with DraftKings. If you're a first-timer, really easy. Try betting on something like a team to win. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook's app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple, really. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It's easy, 90 seconds. Use the code HERD, H-E-R-D. That's code HERD for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800. 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Given it a lot of thought, made calls, contacted sources. Are you ready?
Trades. Come on.
You know you can have trades.
You can have
trades. Anytime you have a lot of quarterbacks in the top 15, you're going to have trades. Okay.
Fair enough.
When you got defensive linemen, unless there's like a Aiden Hutchinson or something like that kind of play, we don't have a dominant defensive player this year. We've got good ones. But this is really an offensive draft. It's offensive tackles, wide receivers, quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That's what this draft is. And it is the best offensive tackle draft ever.
You could have seven of them in the first round.
Yeah. There's another seven in the second round. So it's a great offensive tackle draft, and a lot of teams need it. So here we go, my mock draft. All right, Chicago Bears number one are going to take, and Ryan Poles has shifted this the last year to offense. They're going to take Caleb Williams. They bring in Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift, Gerald Everett, last year DJ Moore. Poles, a former offensive lineman, started building up this offensive line 3 years ago with draft capital. This team will be offensively productive with a playmaker, the only college player the last 2 years that had 10 rushing touchdowns each year at least, and at least 30 passing touchdowns with a bad O-line at Southern Cal. He goes number one. Number two, the Commanders take big, strong, and sturdy Drake May. Bad offensive line. Sam Howell got sacked more than any quarterback. You're not going to go for a spindly quarterback in cold weather. They need a Justin Herbert clone. 6'4 to 6'4.5, 225 pounds, big arm, can move. This is not a great O-line. He's going to get bumped around. The last thing you need is a 200, 205-pound quarterback. Drake May goes second. I don't know if it'll work, but the New England Patriots need playmakers. They don't have him on the outside, and Jaden Daniels is a playmaker. He's got some Lamar Jackson. He'll run around. He'll throw it around. Listen, they're sub-500 by 9 games since Brady left, and he actually fits. I just don't know if Jared Mayo offensively can get him where he needs to be, but they just don't have enough speed and playmakers, so you might as well go put it at quarterback and see what transpires. By the way, Lamar Jackson didn't have a great receiving core until this year, and they won a lot of games. Patriots get Jaden Daniels. This feels like an easy one. Marvin Harrison, an all-time college receiver, goes to Arizona. They lost Hollywood Brown. Kyler Murray's got a star running back, a tight end he likes. He needs a number one receiver. Harrison's personality is a bit quiet and reticent. That's fine. Kyler will make up with it. He's in the headlines. They need a great playmaker, and I think this guy's in the Randy Moss, Calvin Johnson prototype of a star day one in the NFL. The Chargers trade down with Minnesota and get both of their first-round picks. This is what Jim Harbaugh, I'm told, wants, and the Vikings select J.J. McCarthy, who will sit a year behind Kevin O'Connell, great left tackle, run back, two receivers. This is an offensive division. Darnold's not the long-term future, but like an Alex Smith with Mahomes, he'll be a great mentor for a year. I think J.J. McCarthy is a B-plus prospect, but in Minnesota with this coach and these pieces, I think he can have real success. The New York Giants are going to take Malik Nabers, who is like Odell Beckham, but I think more durable. They just don't have enough weapons. They don't have playmakers. They were 30th in scoring. And I don't think they want the fifth best quarterback in this draft. I don't think Bo Nix for them works here, or Michael Penix works here. Darren Waller, the tight end, is considering retirement. Saquon Barkley is gone. They got to give Daniel Jones something to work with, and they don't want to take a huge cap hit. And this kid can fly. He's got some Odell Beckham, but a little bit faster and maybe more durable. This feels pretty easy. Titans take Joe Alt, Notre Dame tackle. They got a bad O-line. The only way Will Levis is going to succeed, whether he does or not, is if he has some protection. He's athletic. I think he played a little tight end in high school. A dominant left tackle in a draft filled with them. Titans take Joe Alt. This feels pretty easy, too. They got the O-line receiver, quarterback, running back, tight end fixed. I think the Falcons take Dallas Turner, best rush edge in the draft. They haven't had like a double-digit sack guy since Vic Beasley. So this team actually, and it's a defensive coach. Defensive coaches, DeMeco Ryan had a couple of first-round picks. He got a quarterback, and he got an edge rusher. All right, this guy got Kirk Cousins. He's going to go get an edge rusher. They don't get double-digit sacks. They haven't had anybody since, like, 2016 and Vic Beasley. I think after getting Caleb Williams, the Bears would like to trade down. There's no takers, and they take Jared Verse, Florida State, defensive edge. Can't have a good enough pass rush when you're facing the Lions, offensive line, and all those receivers and skilled people for the Packers. They got to get Montez Sweat some help. They got a great corner, one defensive lineman. Let's get a second one. They only had 50 sacks last year under Matt Eberflus, 12 fewer than any other team. So Montez Sweat is the beginning. I think they'll go and get another edge rusher potentially later in the draft. They got older tackles, so I think the Jets get Rome Odunze from Washington. Garrett Wilson is their one. Mike Williams is good, but can't stay healthy. Alan Lazard's more of a 3 to a 4. This kid will walk in very comfortably, be a 2, big catching radius. Also an adult, a very disciplined, focused, hardworking player. No distractions from a noisy franchise. I think he will really work in New York. Rome Odunze, who I watched play 10 games this year, impact very early. The Chargers, who moved down to 11 in that trade with the Vikings, go offensive line, maybe the best interior run-blocking tackle in the draft. You can move him inside or at right tackle. The Chargers take from Oregon State Talisi Fuaga. He's just a mauler. Lost very few snaps all season. Just mauled people. And one of the best run blockers in the class. They may slide him inside, probably keep him right. This is a team that couldn't rush last year, and I don't buy into a wide receiver with the Chargers. They want more picks. They want to get physical. I think later in the first round, they'll take an edge rusher or a defensive tackle. And at number 12, the Broncos trade down. They need more players. The Seahawks move up and take Michael Penix, the quarterback from Washington. He can stay in the same town. The Seahawks offensive coordinator was Michael Penix, offensive coordinator in college. Seattle doesn't owe Geno Smith any money next year. I think he throws the prettiest ball in the draft, including Caleb Williams. I think he throws a beautiful football. He gets his coordinator. You can say it's a bit of a reach, but Seattle's got their pieces. They've got corners. They've got two backs, multiple receivers, a left tackle, linebackers. Seattle's got a lot of pieces here. I think they have the ability to give up some draft capital to take a guy who throws an absolutely beautiful ball. Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, tight ends. Seattle's ready to win. So there is my first round. A couple of moves. I think Denver at 12 moves back. Just a couple of spots. So if they want to get Bo Nix, they can. But they need a second round pick. They need draft capital because they got about 6 needs. And I think the Chargers desperately want back. They get 2 first with Minnesota. Joel Klatt has his own mock draft. But let's bring him on right now to discuss a few things here. I listen, I'm... some of the stuff felt like Atlanta, Tennessee, Chicago. I kind of feel those are like those aren't even right. Like you kind of agree with those, right? Those three feel right, don't they?
Yeah. No, I agree with a lot of what you just did there. I felt like maybe you were copying some of the things that I may have done in my mock draft. But that's, you know what? That's fine. That's fine. Smart people do that sort of thing. I would say that this Vikings move up for J.J. McCarthy seems to me through this process, talking with people, to be not just like a good idea or have some momentum behind it, but seems almost imminent. Colin, that the Vikings are going to make this move. And I think that they may have to go up to four because of teams trying to get into that top four. And I think that we're going to have four quarterbacks taken right off the top, right in a row, 1, 2, 3, 4 in this draft.
No college football analyst other than the voice of the Michigan Wolverine saw J.J. McCarthy more than Joel Klatt. You know, when they decide against Penn State to not let him throw, people are like, whoa, 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 whoa. My thing is, I think Caleb would succeed anywhere. Andrew Luck, Trevor Lawrence. But I think most of these young guys succeed based on where they land. If I'm J.J. McCarthy, this feels like perfect. You saw him a lot. Are there one or two things that you are a little hesitant if the fit wasn't perfect?
That's a great question. So first of all, yes. I mean, and just to give you some level of backing on, I saw him a lot. I saw him 16 times the last three seasons.
Wow.
So I've seen every, you know, basically every snap that he's taken, and he's grown a lot. I think my one question, and it's more of a question rather than a knock on him, is that the volume of times that he was asked to do what Michael Penix did, which was stand in the pocket and control the game from the pocket and a full field read down the field, was not nearly the volume that Penix did that. Penix did it, you know, 15, 20 times per game this last year, and McCarthy maybe did it 4 to 6 times per game. So that type of rep volume is not in his bag. Now, having said that, when you watch J.J. McCarthy's game, and as he's grown and as he's matured, what you're going to see is a guy that totally impacts the game in a positive way for his team in crucial situations, and namely on third down. You know, when you watch first and second down, you get lulled into the Michigan way and the Michigan philosophy and their schematics, Colin, and they're going to run the football and they're going to do what Michigan does. And then on third down, a lot of it was like, okay, J.J., now it's in your court. And the reason that they went 15-0 and the reason that they won the national championship was that they had a player that could go above the X's and O's in the moments that they needed him to, namely on third down and third and long. And when you watch those cut-ups, you can immediately see and feel why these GMs and decision makers in the NFL are falling in love with J.J. McCarthy. They want players that can do that. And quarterbacks in the National Football League, crunch time, have to do that. And he can.
You know, Marvin Harrison's dad was, you know, very reluctant. He was a guy, I've heard stories that after practice, he'd go home, he wouldn't shower. Like, he did his own thing. So, you know, so when I hear about Marvin Harrison, again, no college football analyst has seen more Marvin Harrison than you.
Yeah.
I kind of put him in that Randy Moss, Calvin Johnson. He just looks different. It's just like Jamar Chase. You were like, okay, that's a Sunday player playing on Saturday. I don't know. I don't see a huge weakness with Harrison. Maybe he's not a burner. What do you think?
No, I mean, listen, when you go to the GPS numbers, so they wear the catapult system. Everybody does, right? So the 40 is basically irrelevant. I know that the combine is basically a made-for-TV event. Yeah. Pro days are totally worthless. If you want to know how fast a player is, then you go to the data that is collected by the university on the field through the catapult system. It's a little device that everybody wears, whether it's practice or games. So in the GPS system, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr.'s speed is excellent. Excellent game playing speed. I did see him a lot. I don't think it's Megatron, Randy Moss. Those guys just physically dominated the game.
Yeah.
Physically, they were just bigger, faster than the people around them. Harrison is just cleaner than everybody around him. He is a tactician in a lot of ways, and he has studied the game. And talking with Brian Hartline a lot, who's the best wide receiver coach in college football and probably will be a great, you know, NFL coach at some point. He talks a lot about the information you give with your route to the defender. And everybody to a man at Ohio State, including all the former wide receivers. So we're talking about Jackson Smith and Jigba and Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave and Brian Hartline as coach. All of them say the exact same thing, which is nobody did it better or cleaner than Marvin Harrison Jr. This is why he can impact the game in such a positive way for his team on big downs and impactful downs, third downs. Watch his tape last year against Joey Porter Jr., an excellent top-end NFL draft corner. And he just owned him. Why? Because he runs exquisite routes, and then he capitalizes once the ball is there. Great hands, great body control, all of it. I didn't cover Randy Moss and Calvin Johnson. I have not covered in person a better wide receiver in college football than Marvin Harrison Jr.
So tight ends are interesting. A lot of the ones that got hyped in my life, Kyle Pitts, there was a kid out of Penn State, Brady. Kyle Brady. It may have been Kyle Brady. And you watch him, and it's like they were dominant in college, and you watch him in the NFL, you're like, oh. And then George Kittle comes from Iowa. Iowa, just like a machine, just gives us tight ends every year.
Sam Laporta.
Yeah, and the reason it is because Iowa really makes their tight ends block. And that is often the difference, is these guys run around. And Utah, by the way, with Dalton Kincaid, Utah makes their tight ends block. So I don't know if Georgia does or not. I look at Brock. You have him going to the Chargers, and I just think Jim's going to go meat grinder. Anything about Brock Bowers that screams, watch out, Kyle Pitts, it may not be what you think.
No, I think that he's better in line as a blocker than Pitts was. The reason I love him to the Chargers is because I don't think Jim is going to change his MO. I think that the way that he wants to play and the way that he wants to move the ball on offense is pretty clear. It's been clear ever since he was at Stanford. And then it was clear when he was at San Francisco. And then it's been clear when he's at Michigan. And what he values is mauling offensive linemen and tight ends. He loves to play with multiple tight ends. And the only way you can play with multiple tight ends and get away with it at the NFL level is if one of them can have the ability to flex, and that's certainly Brock Bowers. Now, it's great when they can do both, and I think that he can, but what gets lost in I think at least, in the coverage of the NFL is how important it is to have a really great tight end. Colin, look at the last 8 Super Bowl champions, and here's what you're going to see. Is you're going to see that there's an offensive threat. Now, whether it's a slot like a Cooper Kupp or a tight end, like Gronkowski or Kelsey, you're going to see an offensive threat that can own the middle of the field. It's imperative that you have that player. Nobody wins a Super Bowl because their best offensive player is an outside wide receiver. That doesn't happen. I think that the number one wide receiver in the National Football League is severely overvalued, and we undervalue tight ends and middle of the field controllers. That's why I value Brock Bowers so high. That's why I think that the Chargers will look at him, in particular with the philosophy of what Jim Harbaugh does. And if they were to trade back, which I have them doing, taking Bowers, they would still have the opportunity to get an offensive lineman with a second first-round pick after trading back in order to get Bowers and an offensive lineman. Now you get the best tight end in the draft. You can get an offensive lineman that can do exactly what Fuaga can do from Oregon State. And I think then the Chargers are really set up to do what Harbaugh wants to do. And it's pretty clear to me, his MO is not going to change. He has won the exact same way everywhere that he's been, and he's going to do that with the Chargers as well.
All right, if we have mock draft for Joel Klatt, put it up. We do have a lot of similarities, but I do think a lot of this, half of these picks, I feel like very secure in them. I think, you know, I like Tennessee needs a tackle. Atlanta needs an edge rusher. Chicago needs a quarterback. Yep. We've got some differences here. You have a tight end of the Chargers. You have Bo Nix. I think Denver's going to trade out of it and still get Bo Nix. 5 picks later with Seattle, I do think Bo Nix is the fit here. He got a very Drew Brees history where he moves really well, which Drew did early. Drew moved early in his career. Later, he didn't. But I think we're mostly onto this stuff. I will tell you, the Caleb Williams stuff, apparently he had fingernail polish and a pink phone at a women's basketball game, and the internet imploded. And I said, listen, it's generational. What you wear, what you eat, who you date. I do think quarterbacks need to, after games and at that podium on Wednesday, diffuse noise, give teammates credit. You know, I banged on Baker for years, like, dude, you're starting fires, not putting them out. right? He fired.
Wait, you did?
Yeah, yeah. People have suggested
no,
I did.
No, you didn't.
But he did get better at
it. So you're fine with the fingernail polish and the pink phone, but the backwards hat is a bridge too far.
It way too far, but it doesn't, all the other stuff doesn't, does it bother you?
No, it doesn't. I mean, it's today's version of Joe Namath's white shoes and fur coat. That's what it is, right? I mean,
yeah.
So it doesn't bother me. And when you actually listen to Caleb, you know, people love to draw conclusions based on you know, whether it's him with his family when he was getting emotional after a game or his fingernail polish or whatever it is. When you actually listen to him in interviews, you get a guy that is much more grounded and team-oriented than you perceive from the outside, to your point about diffusing on Wednesday, diffusing from the podium. Caleb, let's just break it out like this. And you're not doing the intangibles like leadership and everything. And I'm just like creating an on-field evaluation. You're evaluating, you know, how does he deal with the schematics of the game in his mind? How does he control the game from the pocket? What's his arm talent like? Can he create and move in order to create? And then can he be a threat with his legs? Those are really the five quarterback traits that I'm looking at when evaluating guys. He is the only guy in the 10 years that I've been covering the NFL draft that I have given an elite grade in all five categories. Nobody gets an elite grade in all five categories. So all this talk about like, well, why is Caleb Williams such a great prospect? That's why, because he can do every single thing on the field and he can do it at an elite level. Controlling the game from the pocket, his arm talent, creating outside, his schematic knowledge of the game, where to go with the football, his threat with his legs. This is why he's going to go number one. This is why we have all been salivating for a year and a half about this player entering the National Football League. If Patrick Mahomes is the best player on the face of the planet, and we know what he was in college, this, at this time in college, is a better version of that type of a player. That's why I love Caleb Williams, and that's why I am firmly in belief that he's the best prospect in this draft.
Now, by the way, you're calling the UFL opener, Stallions, mm-hmm. Arlington Renegades, Saturday at 1 Eastern. Do you believe, you're down there now, you just talked to Sark, you're down in Austin. Do you believe there will be, if I watch that game, you've seen some of these guys in college. Are there like NFL-level players in this stuff? And if so, at what positions?
No, there's no doubt. Yeah, there's no doubt. Well, just think of it. With the league split, XFL and USFL, we've had two all-pros in the USFL over the last couple of years. You had Kevontae Turpin and Brandon Aubrey. Now, I get it. One of them's a kicker. But there are NFL players in the UFL, and the UFL is going to be the best version of spring football that we have seen, period. And the reason is because these two leagues with 16 teams coming down to 8 teams and merging together, it is condensing the talent, which means we're going to have a better crop of offensive linemen overall, and we're going to have a better crop of quarterbacks overall. And that's actually where I see some of these guys getting NFL chances, is at the quarterback position. We saw Alex Magoo last year being the Birmingham quarterback, led him to a championship. Now he's been with the Green Bay Packers and now on their practice squad. Other guys like Case Cookus, I think McCarron could be back into the league. Matt Corral is a talented player from Ole Miss that could get himself back into the league. Jordan Ta'amu. These are really good players. And like I said, the UFL is in a position right now after the XFL-USFL merger to put the best product on the field that we've seen in spring football yet.
Yeah, no, I think you're right here. We have two leagues. It may have been a bit diluted. You combine them. I would make an argument, every pro league in this country should have fewer teams. When you do that, the teams get better. So I'm excited to watch it. I watched last year and I said, you're not going to find necessarily offensive linemen here. Backs, receivers, corners, kickers, quarterbacks, linebackers. You watch it. There's like NFL bodies out here. Joel Klatt, who, by the way, you were in Austin. There's no way you went to Austin and didn't stop by to see Sark. Tell me you did.
Well, that's why I went to Austin. So I interviewed Sark. I've got a whole new crop of Big Noon Conversations coming to the podcast for this summer. And I sat down with Sark for 30 minutes. It was a really good interview. Watched their practice. That's going to be one of the best four teams in the country next year. They're going to be really good.
Did he say he misses me? You know, I used to see him occasionally.
You know, oddly, he didn't mention you, but I think it was just an oversight. I'm sure it was just an oversight.
By the way, I did not rip off your mock draft, but I do think we think alike.
No, that's fine. No, that's an indictment. If I'm hearing that, that's an indictment. You might think of it as a compliment, but that's fine.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into that. Let's be friends in the off season. There's no reason to have any of this turf war, border skirmish here in March.
That's fine. You know what we got to do? You know what I think would be fun? And what? I think your listeners would like, because people have asked me that. I need to come in and we'll do the one-for-one mock draft.
Oh, yeah, we did that.
Mock draft,
we did
back
that.
And forth. We should do that again.
Are you, if you're available and not out on the town, why don't you come up here and do stuff? I'm here grinding
out
on
of the town.
Yeah, I'm grinding on the treadmill every day. You're out there hanging out with Sark and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, in glorious hotel rooms in the spring grinding. You know what? That's fine. That's fine. It's great to see you, brother.
All right, Joel Klatt.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.